take this time to look at Baptist history, or history of some kind. And this morning we're going to look at Baptist history, and we're going to look at a man who really is one of America's most remarkable Baptist missionaries, a name that most of us won't know. But the man's name is Reverend John Clough. He was born in 1836, and missionary scholars have studied his ministry and given it much attention because of the unusual way that God used him in his 40 years in India. John Clough grew up in Illinois and Iowa. He entered college to study to be a lawyer. And in 1857, while he was in college, he heard the gospel for the first time and came to great conviction and was saved. He soon felt that the Lord was leading him to specifically proclaim the gospel to those that had never heard the gospel. And he graduated from Bible College in Iowa in 1862. It was right in the middle of the Civil War, and was appointed as a missionary to India in 1864. And he arrived in the southern portion of India in 1865. The Indian people in that area are known as Telugas, and several works have been begun there, attempted there, I should say. But the Telugas were, well, in India, we have a caste system, and it's hard really for us to imagine what this is. If you remember maybe in history studies in school about the caste system in India, I would describe it maybe as racism on steroids. People are put into groups. There's the wealthy, there's the privileged, and then on down to the poor. And but then that doesn't even begin to describe what happens. If you fellowship or even marry into another caste, literally your family members will kill you. And so it's a very difficult system. And if you think about missionaries coming in and trying to build a church, and they lead some Brahmins to the Lord, which is the upper class, and they are forbidden to fellowship with the lower class, and they, you know, it just becomes a very interesting, a very difficult thing. And so many works have been tried among the Brahmins there, and there was little to no fruit. And many missionaries recommended abandoning the effort and turning to other regions. 11 years before Clough came to India in 1854, there was a missionary, Lyman Jewett, who came to India. And he and his wife began a good work near that region, not in that region, but near that region. And one time they visited that area, and in a historian says, in a pre-dawn prayer meeting on a hill overlooking the city of Ongoli, the Jewetts and three Telugu Christian women got on their knees and asked God to send a missionary to that city of Telugu, to Ongoli, which was yet unreached, where the Telugas lived. And when John Clough arrived, that really signaled the answer to prayer that these missionaries and Christian women had prayed 11 years earlier. And when John Clough arrived, really a modern miracle of missions began. When he arrived in Ongoli, it belonged, the Christians there, were a few Christians, as I mentioned, most of them belonged to the Brahmin class, the wealthy and privileged caste. His early converts came from preaching to the lowest levels of society, and those people were known as the Madigas. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right or not, but Madigas. And they were from the region that you saw earlier, the circled region. As I said, the Brahmins were not allowed to fellowship or even to talk to the lower class people. And in church, there was no exception. It's hard to just describe, you know, how to build to these people are newly saved from paganism, and you begin to develop Christian principles and understanding this caste system. Very difficult to work among these people in these different caste systems. But the Cloughs believed strongly that 1 Corinthians 1 taught that God called the base and the despised of the world, not many noble. And unlike previous missionaries, they chose to preach primarily to the lowest classes in India and the area of this area around Ongoli. And on January 1st, 1867, he organized a church with 8 members. Their congregation became made up of farmers and tanners, humble but devout people who came to know the Lord and serve the Lord there in Ongoli. And for 10 years, the Cloughs planted churches. They built schools. They trained preachers and nationals and evangelists. His methods were biblical and saturated with prayer. They would, one of his One of his techniques was to have tent meetings. They would hold tent meetings, and then converts would be discipled by the national preachers that he had led to the Lord and trained. And then those people at Newly Saved would be trained. And several thousand people were converted in the first 10 years. A circuit was established around 80 villages, around almost 40 miles, where he and his preachers would travel and minister to those churches that he was building there in that 40 mile area. Four more couples came to join him in the 1870s and work with him, and that was a great blessing to him. A year later, after he had been in India for 11 years, India experienced a terrible famine, and millions of people, it's estimated that about 10 million people died of starvation. The British government of India came to the aid of these perishing people, and they employed them to dig canals for the development of the country, for getting food to regions that were not reachable or not accessible. And instead of returning to America, Clough, during this famine, negotiated a contract with the government, and he recruited thousands of starving Madigas and Telugas to build 5 miles of the canal. And now you see a modern-day picture of that canal. But he took these contracts to work. He organized the people. He paid the starving people higher wages than normal. He paid them in food, whatever they needed. Food was their biggest problem. And he organized them into working companies. And while they labored, he then had his national preachers preach to them the gospel as they labored. And his church alone, and this is quite a work party, his church alone extended the Buckingham Canal, which you see there, by 5 miles. Imagine that. There was no water there when they started. And just an amazing, really, attempt. And as I mentioned, he enlisted his preachers to spread the gospel as they worked on the canal. And more than 9,000 people were converted during those famine years, those 3 years. At that point, many of them asked to be baptized. And he decided, he felt that the Lord was leading him to do this, he decided not to baptize anybody while the famine lasted, lest he was afraid that they profess Christianity just to get food. And so he thought, well, we'll wait until after the famine, and then I'll be able to tell more clearly if the conversions are true. And so after the famine, when life returned to normal, he offered baptism to all true believers. And on July 3rd, 1878, 2,220 people were immersed upon their profession of faith. And over the next 3 months, 9,500 Madigas presented themselves for baptism. It's an amazing, amazing work of God. One author said the Madiga community was turned upside down. They abandoned their old gods, their idols, and Clough's churches grew to more than 21,000 members. And God surely had answered the prayer of the Jewets those 20 years previously when John Clough surrendered his life to the Lord and came to reach the people in southern India. God brought conviction, and tens of thousands of people were saved. And Baptist historians call this the Telugu Awakening. And Clough wrote a book later called, or named Darkness, From Darkness to Light. And he tells the story of this, but also he mentioned, he has a paragraph that I wanted to read to you, which is kind of maybe astounding in one sense or maybe worthy of our serious consideration. He said that perhaps a century or two hence, when America and England, bloated with wealth and given to change and show, have departed from the faith of their fathers, Telugu or Tamil or Maratha preachers of the gospel may be sent from India as missionaries to evangelize the United States and Britain. Or so maybe they would be star preachers in New York, Boston, Chicago, and London. More improbable things have happened in the history of the church during the past 1,800 years. Wow, that's something to consider as he talks about that. But you know what I kind of gained from this as I read through this story was that God answers prayer. He certainly does, and however, we get impatient, and it's hard for us to keep on praying for something that might take 11 or 20 years, as this did. And I think it's a great, a story for us to hear to realize that. John's wife died in 1893. He remained on the field until just before his death in 1910. And when he died, I'll read you these numbers, they're just kind of astounding, the numbers I'm about to read to you. It's estimated that 60,000 Indians of the Ongoli region belonged to Baptist churches that were planted by John Clough. 60,000. In 1936, a report of the Telugu mission went out, and it counted 350 Baptist churches, and a Baptist community of more than 300,000 people in that area. It's amazing what God did there. Praise the Lord for his wonderful answer to prayer and this really astounding fruit that was left there in India. And this is a quote from him. I think it's kind of interesting to read. When God wants to free a people, a famine may be the way out. And certainly that's a great quote from John Clough. And we thank the Lord this morning for John Clough and his ministry there in India.